Loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee that we have the opportunity to come to this Thy house to worship Thee. And we pray that as Thou hast been with us in song and prayer, that Thou wouldst now be with us in the preaching and hearing of Thy Word, that Thou wouldst receive honor and glory unto Thyself, and Thy people may be strengthened and edified. We especially ask Thee to help us to remember this day Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that Thou didst give Him and for us, that He might redeem us from our sins. Help us to remember that every day of our lives, we pray, to give Him praise, honor, and glory. Be with us now, we pray, again, once again. We ask in the preaching of Thy Word, bless Thy servant to preach, Thy people to hear and understand. And all this we ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, and Amen. I invite your attention to a passage of Scripture that we hear a lot this time of year, and that's found in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 1, and verses 18 through 21. Again, it's Matthew, chapter 1, and verses 18 through 21. And these verses read, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to put her, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And I trust the Lord will bless us as we consider this passage of Scripture and other related passages of Scripture this morning. Alright, in this passage of Scripture we find that Joseph realized that Mary was with a child, and as far as he knows, by some other man. And as a result of that, he could have made her Mary a public example. That is, and having made her a public example, then Mary could have been stoned to death. He could have had Mary stoned to death, because that's one of the ways it could be done under the law. She could have been stoned to death. But this was not Joseph's desire. He wanted to put her away privately, and he did not want to bring shame on Mary or her family. Now, as he thought on these things, then the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And the angel addressed Joseph, Thou son of David. Now, this was showing that Joseph descended from David. Now, he wasn't an upkeep great, he's not in those days, or they didn't call him upkeep great-grandsons or anything like that, but he was just, in fact, there were, if I can, 42 generations, evidently, by what we find earlier in this passage of Scripture. I think that's right there. But the fact is that he was just simply called a son of David. Grandsons were not mentioned. He was just a son of David. Whether it was a grandson, great-grandson, or 42nd great-grandson, or whatever the case may be. The fact is, he was just a son. They were all called sons. But this was, again, this shows that Joseph descended from David. And there was another way of saying that Jesus would be David's promised son. In Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10, we have the word that when Jacob is giving prophecies, or Israel is giving prophecies to all of his sons, and in the midst of that he was given to Judah, he says this, The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And the idea in that text of Scripture is that there would be someone that has at least an heir as a ruler from the tribe of Judah. Now we can say, well, what about during the captivity? No one reigned there on the throne. That is correct. And maybe since that time, it may have been that no one, actually, a descendant of David, reigned name on the throne. But there was a legal heir during that time. That is, and it's an amazing thing. The Babylonian captivity or other things that happened to the Jews, none of them ever kept an heir coming from in the tribe of Judah so that this prophecy could be fulfilled, right? And so there was always an heir to the throne of, as king of the Jews. Alright, now, he says, so Shiloh comes, and the word Shiloh is a word that means peace. And so the Prince of Peace comes, and Jesus Christ, then under him, under Jesus, would the gathering of the people be. In Luke chapter 1, in verse 32, we have something very similar there. Luke chapter 1, in verse 32. And it reads by saying, and he shall be great, referring to Jesus, he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So Joseph is the son of David, and so the idea there that Jesus is the heir to the throne of David, or King of the Jews, as he's sometimes called in the Scriptures. And so it's that way. Now the angel told Joseph to fear not, because Jesus was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And that means that Jesus was different from all ordinary men. And that he was God and man together. In this same passage of Scripture, the same chapter where our text is, in Matthew 1, and then verses 22 and 23, we find this, these words. And it reads, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That is, he was God, or is God, and at the same time is man. So he's called Emmanuel, God with us. That this one, God with us, would save his people from their sins. He had to be different to save us from our sins, because in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, we find these words, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So in that passage of Scripture, we see that every human being, by nature, is dead in trespasses and sins. That is, by nature. Until God touches that person's life and gives him the spiritual nature. But by nature, we're all dead in trespasses and sins. By nature, we're all totally separated from God. Now, think about it in this way. Every one of us, that is, mortal human beings, not the Lord Jesus, but every one of us, as mortal human beings, are dead in trespasses and sins. That is, we're separated from God. Now, think of it in this way. How is any one of us going to get us to God when we can't get ourselves to God? So, the idea that we need one greater than we are. And so, he is Emmanuel, something different than every other man, one without sin. Now, notice, if you will, back to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. That's the one that we find, we hear a lot during this time of the year. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Notice the expression there. She shall bring forth the son. Now, the idea there was that there was no question about whether this child that was within Mary was a daughter or a son. God promised this, she shall bring forth a son. And then the word is, thou shalt call his name Jesus. That is, his name would be in Jesus. Why? Because he shall save his people from their sins. Now, and this passage of Scripture, shall, is used in the most powerful way. That is when it says, we use sometimes, most of the time, maybe all the time, we use the word will. And a number of years past, when will and shall were used, and it's I guess you might say, a helping verb that shows something is going to occur in the future. This will occur, this shall occur. Well, in these passages of Scripture, I'm not sure about thou, which is a pronoun used in that day that instead of you that we use, beg your pardon, today, that All of this is the most powerful way that it could be expressed. That is, she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So it's used in the most powerful way. This is the sovereignty of God here. This is going to happen. There's no if, and or but. This is going to happen. Now, of Mary's son, the angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. The meaning of every biblical word is important. And certainly the name Jesus is important. If there was only one name in the Bible, and all of them are important, but if there was only one name in the Word of God that was important, then that would be the name Jesus. And again, the meaning of every biblical name is important. Certainly the name Jesus is important. But Jesus, in this passage of Scripture, or really all the time in the New Testament, is translated from the Hebrew word Yehoshua. Yehoshua. Now, it is the same as Joshua in the Old Testament. And it means Jehovah is salvation. The name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. And the very purpose of Jesus coming into the world was to save his people from their sins. In John chapter 12, this is important. John chapter 12, I want to read verses 23 and 24 and then skip down and read one other one. John chapter 12 and verses 23 and 24. And these two verses read, and Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, which by the way, that's an expression saying this is important. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, without getting into further explanation, Jesus is using in this passage of Scripture a seed put down in the ground, planted in the ground, and sprouting up, and the fruit it bears at the top of the stalk as a picture of his death, burial, and resurrection, and the resurrection of his people also. And so Jesus said, now, the hour is come. Now, little words mean something. Very important sometimes. Jesus said this, the hour is come. Now, not an hour, because if it was an hour, there could be other hours that are just as important. But Jesus says, verily, verily, that is, this is important. The hour, the only hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And then he says in verse 24, this is how I'm going to be glorified, with my death, my burial, and my resurrection, and before the resurrection of my people. And then in verse 27 he says, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. That is, that's the very reason, or that's the most important reason that Jesus came into this world. I don't mean to imply by that other things he did, other things he said were not important. I tell you, everything that Jesus did, everything that Jesus said was important. Now, all of us may do and say a lot of things that are not important, but everything that Jesus did, everything that Jesus said was important, not only important, but most important. But in that text of Scripture, he said, listen, for this cause came I unto this hour. That is, and I think he was saying by that, this is the most important reason I came into this world. And the angel prophesied of this when he said, for he shall save his people from their sins. So the definition of the name seems to be obvious from the context of Scripture. When he says, she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. Now, again, he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus shall save. He did not make a down payment. He did not save us partly, but Jesus alone saved us. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, we find these words, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That is the idea that I remember We had a meeting at Cedar Creek, and they asked me to be host pastor back in September. Some of you were there, at least one of the services, but nevertheless, one of the services, the brother, our guest minister, made the statement that when he read some passage of Scripture where Jesus was mentioned there, he said, "I just read to you," and by the way, Jesus was the only one mentioned in that verse of Scripture. He said, "I just read to you all the names that save us from our sins." And the only name he read was Jesus. And so, again, in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "There is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved." That is, it is Jesus Christ alone who has saved us from our sins. Now, as he saved us from our sins, and he did that alone, then he gets all the praise for it. I don't know of a better reason to believe in salvation by the grace of God and by the grace of God alone, other than the fact that God gets all the glory for it. He did it all, therefore he gets all the glory for it. And thank the Lord that he did do it all. Now, think about it, brothers and sisters. Knowing that Jesus Christ alone saved us from our sins, then what great joy we have in salvation, knowing that he has done that for us. Knowing that he was willing to do what was necessary, and when I say what was necessary, that is going to the cross to redeem us from our sins, that should make us joy that he loved us so much. Jesus shall save his people. That is, he already had a people. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. "According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." That is, he saves us from our sins. According as he has saved us. According as he has chosen us in him. Excuse me. God the Father chose us in Jesus Christ, made us a part of Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. Before we ever existed. Before any of the world ever existed, before God ever said, "Let there be light," then, or before God created the heaven and the earth, as we find in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, before God ever did that, he chose us in Jesus Christ the Lord. It's a heavenly choice, because he chose us in Jesus Christ before the world began, or before he created the heaven and the earth. That is, we belong to Jesus because we were chosen in him. Now think about this. We were a part of Jesus. If I were to ask anyone that's ever had a surgery or anything that was done to you, several of you, I'm sure, would raise your hand. I have. People say that sometimes I'm not real. Partly true. Because I have two artificial hips. But, who do you think it was responsibility to get it done? Not to do it, by the way, but to get it done. Tell the doctor, "All right, let's do it." It was my responsibility. You know why? Because they're a part of me. All right, now, because we were chosen in Jesus Christ, we were as good as saved right then. Yeah, that's right. We were as good as saved right then because it said we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, that means there that we were chosen in Jesus Christ, and because we were chosen in Christ, ultimately, well, let me back up and rephrase it another way. That is, a number of years ago in a ministry school, two of the brethren had been preaching for a long time, but now with the Lord, both of them, made the statement that the word "should" in that passage of Scripture is the future perfect, I think they said. All those things kind of confused me, but they said future perfect tense of the word "shall." And that means we were chosen in Jesus Christ, and because we were chosen in Jesus Christ, we shall be holy and without blame before him in love, which will be at the resurrection, and of course from then on. All right, so, brother and sister, we were as good as saved then. Because Jesus Christ, because we were a part of him, he would take the responsibility to redeem us from our sins, and he did just exactly that. Now, and so he says that Jesus shall save his people from their sins. We are sinners. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, we find that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We are sinners, every human being, and Jesus saved us from our sins. Now, in order to save us from our sins, He had to come where we are. That is, and the word salvation means deliverance. Think of it in this way before I go on any further. If a man is drowning in a pool, well, you've got to go to that person in one way or another. You can go to that person directly. Some say that's not the best way. The reason is not being because a person that's drowning doesn't have any coherence. That person that's trying to go out and save him personally could be drowned himself. But reach out with a pole, throw out some flotation device or whatever. The idea, you've got to go to him in one way or another to save that person from drowning. That's what it has to be. And in order for Jesus to save us from our sins, he had to come where we are. And again, the word salvation means deliverance. In John chapter 1, verse 1, we have these words. And I'll take, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, Jesus Christ, the living Word of God. And now look in John chapter 1, verse 14, and it reads, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we find there the Word came and dwelt among us. And then in verse 17, we find, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ brought grace with Him. He saved, and through His grace, He saved us from our sins. Jesus delivered us from being dead in trespasses and sins. Now, this tells us, I think, brothers and sisters, what kind of Savior we have. He is powerful. He is mighty. And Brother Tommy read at the beginning of the service, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so He is indeed the Mighty God. I'll give you just one thing. You've probably heard it read this way. Thankful Brother Tommy didn't read it that way, and I didn't read it that way. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. All right? Well, that's true. He is. There's no doubt in my mind He's Wonderful Counselor, Wonderful Mighty God, Wonderful Prince of Peace, and all the others. But listen, He's wonderful, period. And thank the Lord for that. Jesus Christ is indeed wonderful. And therefore, Jesus Christ is worthy of all praise. We should give all praise to Jesus for what Jesus has done for us. Listen, Jesus has done for us what no other human being could do. And that saves us from our sins. Jesus did for us what God the Father could not do. You say, well, He couldn't do that? That's right. He couldn't do that. God the Father cannot come down to sinful people. We'll be up to Him someday, and the reason being, that is, at the resurrection, is because Jesus makes us righteous. He's redeemed us from our sins, and ultimately at the time of the resurrection, every effect of sin will be taken away from us. And we can then be in the presence of God the Father. But God the Father cannot come down with men in their sins. He can't do it. Only Jesus could save us from our sins. Jesus and Jesus alone. And so therefore, brothers and sisters, He is worthy of praise. And we ought to give all praise to Jesus. All the praise in our thoughts. Beg your pardon. All the praise with our words. Now, let me back up and say one thing concerning this. Sometimes our words may be lacking praise of Jesus. And one of the reasons our words may be lacking in praise of Jesus is because our thoughts are lacking in praise of Jesus. And so the origin is from our thoughts of the heart, our thoughts, and then our words come out, and then not only that, but our actions give praise, honor, and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, We ought to give all praise to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is worthy of all praise. Think about what Jesus did for us, and think about the fact that no other human being, I would say that others probably would, if they could, but Jesus did for us what no other human being could do. And so He's worthy of all praise. And so, God help us, my dear brothers and sisters, to praise the One who has saved us from our sins every day of our lives. God help us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.